for Sunday school for the next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas, we're going to talk about the journey of the baby. We're going to talk about the baby Jesus. Now, please understand that I understand. Oh, hello, Dolly. I understand that Jesus always has been. There's never been a time when Jesus has not been. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Please understand that. But we're just going to focus on the moments of Jesus being a baby or coming up to him being a baby. Amen? We're going to talk about those. I've got 10 different spots, 10 different things about Jesus' birth, about the travel or the times, different folk moments of time that he was the baby. And we'll talk about that throughout the next couple of weeks. I certainly won't get through 10 things all in one day. So we'll go about those through the next few weeks leading up to Christmas time. Amen? I thought that'd be kind of convenient. So let's go ahead and start out. We're actually going to start out in the first thing in Isaiah. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And then we will get right after it talking about Jesus, the journey of the baby. Brother John Black, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen, amen. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7 with me very quickly. The 10 things, the first thing we're going to begin with is the prophecy of the baby. There was a prophecy of the baby. And by the way, this is obviously not an exhaustive list, and I am obviously not going to hit on every single piece of Scripture that has to do with our Savior. The whole Bible is that. I mean, we'd have to spend years and years and years on this subject, but I'm just going to touch on a few of them. And we go back to Isaiah chapter 7, and we learn, starting in verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." This is a prophecy of hundreds of years before Christ ever came, hundreds of years before he was born. We see a prophecy of the Christ child. All throughout the Old Testament, and we all know this, that the Old Testament was pointing towards the New Testament. The New Testament was pointing back towards the cross. Everything that they put in place, all of the things that they did, all of the sacrifices, all of those things, the rituals, the religious points that they did were all in belief of the Christ to come. This here is a prophecy of how he would come. This is a prophecy of that child's going to be born of a virgin. What's amazing to me is if you think about that very statement, if it was to be made today, you'd fall over and laugh your head off. If it was to be made today saying there was going to be a baby born of a virgin, what would you say to that? I mean, we talk about this like it's no big deal. A baby born of a virgin, that is very important. That prophecy way back in the Old Testament times in Isaiah, the journey of this baby, it's an amazing journey. Christ stands at the portals of glory looking down on all of us. Looking down on all of us that are ever going to be, saying, I must go. My daughter has written a song, I must bring Christmas to the world. He must have brought Christmas to the world. He must be born. And here he is again. And the Old Testament is his rule book. Do you understand that? I've tried to convey that to you. Christ made the rules. He's telling us here in Isaiah, I'm coming, and this is how I'm going to come. Right? So he must then be born of a virgin. That's important. beyond all of the miracles that that is. He must be born of a virgin, because if he's not born of a virgin, he's got tainted blood. But because he was born of a virgin, his blood is pure. That shedding, that blood, when it's shed for us, has to be that way. He made the rules. And what's wonderful about the prophecy of this little baby, the prophecy letting the world know that this is how I'm going to come, so watch for that, is given in the Old Testament. And it's almost like the people said, whatever. Think about that for a moment. Born of a virgin? The prophecy leading up to the great Christ child? We're looking for a person to be born of a virgin. Do you know that's never happened since? Do you know it never happened before? We talk about it as it's no big deal, but it is a giant deal. That journey of that baby, beginning back in Isaiah, and of course, please, it began way before that. He knew what he was going to do. But this prophecy, this setting out of this is how I'm going to come, is so very important. Do you know why, beyond all those things, that it's so important? Because he did it. He didn't just say it. Can I help you out a little bit? Do you realize that you don't do everything you say you're gonna? Do you realize that? Probably this morning. You don't do everything you say you're going to do. But Jesus does. Yeah. He says, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come from a virgin birth. Yeah. And he did it. I want you to turn over to Micah chapter 5, 2. These verses here are nothing new to you. I understand that. Micah chapter 5, again in the Old Testament. And again, I'm not hitting on all these. There's myriads of them. Loads of prophecy. The whole Old Testament prophesies of Christ coming. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from the of old, from everlasting. Is there anybody that you know of that fits that bill? Anybody you know of? Not quite you, Marie. Going forth have been from old, from everlasting. I submitted to you that Christ has always been. But he's telling you not only how he was going to come, but where he was going to come. You know what's amazing to me? I want you to think about this for a moment. This is what he says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, let me ask you a question. When people put out, there's going to be Mary in a tree out in a field, what happens? Hundreds of people show up to try to see Mary in a tree in a field. Here's a prophecy. Think now, I want you to think with me. Bethlehem never got bigger. Out of thee, Bethlehem Ephratah, is going to come the King of Kings. And nobody moved there. Huh? Out of thee is going to come the Savior of all men. From old, from everlasting, that's where he's going to come. And nobody took up residence. You know what's amazing to me, Christian, is we talk about the journey of the baby. Jesus wants to set up residence right inside of you. He really does. He wants his Holy Spirit to reside right inside of you. Do you know, still today, very few of us change our address? Think about that for a minute. Oh, you don't mind getting saved. Help me now. You don't mind getting saved, but you don't want to change your address. That's good preaching if you hear me this morning. You got no problem. Lord, take me to heaven when I die. Hey, Bethlehem's going to be where that baby's born, but nobody wanted to go check it out. Huh? If you told me that Jesus Christ was going to be born in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I'd move there. Why? I just want to see it happen. I wanted to see the man. I want to see the Savior. I want to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I want to see it. And nobody moved there. Bethlehem was still little when Jesus was born. You got to understand something. As you talk about the prophecy of the Christ child, as you look throughout it all, with the greatest significance in all of known history, there is no other greater significance than the birth of Christ's child. Yet all throughout every stage of his life, he's treated the same. Tell me I'm wrong. Throughout all of his life, he's treated the same. And now we, who can look back on all the information that we have about Christ, we still won't change address. I include myself. As you look at the prophecy of the Christ child, what a miracle. What a miracle it was going to be, the birth of this baby. What a miracle the prophecy is spelling out. Yet Jordan, nobody wanted to show up. Can you say amen to that? It was a great and wondrous miracle. The man, the God-man, standing at the portals of glory, knowing that he's going to have to go down and become a sacrifice for us, tells us that he's coming, and nobody was there to greet him. Let me ask you a question. Take a significant figure of today. How many people would meet that person at the airport if he was getting off the plane? Huh? Somebody we know. Let's say Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers shows up at the airport. There'll be an autograph signing. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people would show up. Think about an actor, somebody you know. Good Lord, when they filmed that movie downtown Cleveland, thousands of people showed up to watch the stupidity, and yet here's Christ being born and nobody came. He's more important, wouldn't you say? Now listen, I'm building up towards Christmas time. I am considered in all of known circles as the Grinch. It's the truth. It is the honest truth. The reason that I'm doing this, and the reason that these next few weeks are going to be wrapped up in this, I want you to see that Christmas isn't about your stuff. Listen, please don't misread me. I want everybody to have fun, and I want there to be presents. I really, really do. But you know what? I'm so worried about our Christian people. I want to give you a thought here, just a thought. And I'm not mad. I just, what bothers me is that we are in it. Whatever. We have no problem. Think about this for a moment. As people, we have no problem showing up for Black Friday. But we have a problem for showing up for Sunday school. Well, Sunday school's not fun. Yeah, Black Friday's a blast. That Black Friday makes me just want to go out and shop right now. I don't know about you. I want to go at midnight and fight people. That's what I want to do. All over $7 off a Game Boy. You know, that's just fantastic to me. And you may get thousands of dollars worth of deals. God bless your hearts. But here's what bothers me. We spend $1,000 to save $4 and then we don't tithe. Somebody say amen this morning. Now, that's all about prophecy of the Christ child. What I want you to do is I want you to focus and I want you to have your Christmas. Please don't misread me on this. I am the Grinch. Honest to goodness, I'm the Grinch towards the commercialized Christmas that we have today. I am. Why? Because we forget about Christ. These next few weeks, I want you to understand how much he's done for you. How wonderful he is. And I want you to show up. I want you to show up for Christ. All throughout his life, all throughout his birth, all throughout it. No one came. Tell me they did. They came when he was giving stuff away. Jesus in his Black Friday feeding. Well, I'll show up for that. It's free lunch. You know, it's amazing to me how we as people have debased Christ. We really have. What's most important? Whatever works best for my family. Well, let me tell you something. Christ is what works best for your family. We have the the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7. Let's go to the next one. We have the private proclamation in Luke chapter 1. Can we turn over to there? Mary was unbelievable in what she had to deal with. She would have never done what we have done with her, not us personally, but what humans have done with her, she would have never done. Never. She would have never wanted this. If she would have wanted this, she would have never been blessed among women. She didn't want what we've done. She didn't want what the Catholic Church has done. She didn't want any of that. She didn't want to be part of the Holy Family. She wanted to magnify God. That's what she wanted to do. But here she is, and I want you to look at these things and think about what you would do. This is this is a woman who's wonderful, great woman. Please don't misread me. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Sinner. I mean, she's a sinner, but a wonderful, wonderful woman. As you look at this Luke chapter 1, and we know that the Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story, but I want to go back just a little bit before that. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Well, wait a minute, didn't we read that in Isaiah? Amen. See, here's Christ doing what he said he was going to do. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail. Now, first of all, if you're Mary, and in walks Gabriel, can you put yourself there for a minute? We blow over this like it's no big deal, right? But Gabriel walks in the room, sent from God, and says, Hail! Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Gabriel announcing how wonderful Mary is. I think Gabriel ought to know what wonderful is. Huh? Where's Gabriel coming from? Gabriel's coming from next to the Lord. I think Gabriel knows what wonderful is. Look at this now. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. That's interesting in and of itself. That shows you how great she was. Now, wait a minute. How would you like to be called great? Be wonderful, wouldn't it? I mean, today's society, if you can be put up on a podium, they'll do it. To be put up and say, wow, I am truly great. And have somebody else call you great, wow, you can't wait. She hears these words and she's troubled. You know why she's troubled? She knows who she is. She wouldn't be highly favored if she didn't know who she was. She wouldn't be highly favored if she didn't know where she was from. She wouldn't be highly favored if she didn't know what she was inside of her, knowing what her foundation of being a sinner is. She would not be troubled at this saying. She'd be saying, yes, I am. Great. But Gabriel comes in and says, man, you are highly favored. You're blessed. And she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What in the world are you talking about? Look at this now. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. This is the woman. This is it. Mary is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, wait a minute. Think about if you were there. You're this person. You're this wonderful lady that's worked very hard. Let me tell you something. She was a good Christian. You bet she was. If she wasn't a good Christian, she wouldn't be there. If she wasn't a wonderful lady, she wouldn't be there. She was a lady that stood up above the other women in help and in service and in knowing what it's to be a lady. Let me tell you, that's fading fast in America today, how to be a lady. Ladies would rather go and box men or go and play football or do all these other things. Let me tell you something, ladies. Sure, it'd be nice to have some ladies today. You're a male chauvinist. Whatever you want to call. Oink, oink. Ladies, let me tell you something right now. You're selling yourself short. You need to hear this. Wait, you get mad at me all you want to. Lady can do what a man can do. Baloney. You're a lot smarter than us. You are. You have to train us. You know that. But understand this. You're not made to fight all those battles. That's not what you're made for. I don't want to have a woman fighting for me. I want to fight to save the woman, not the woman to save me. Men, we've got it all screwed up. And because we haven't done our job. And I'm not saying women can't lead. Don't misread me. But they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to have that duty. But because we've been so bad at it all these years, now they've got to. Aren't you glad you came? Jesus put the man as the spiritual leader. The problem is we haven't been spirit-led. Tell me I'm wrong. Well, that doesn't go over well, does it? You feel, and then what's sad is some of the women in this room right now are feeling that I'm preaching against you. I'm not preaching against you at all. I'm trying to let you know that God has a lot better job for you than our job. Praise the Lord. My address is 750 Fairview Street if you'd like to send me a letter. Thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Your baby is that man. Your baby is that Savior. Your baby is Emmanuel. And she had to take all of those things in. This lady was a dynamic lady. This lady had unbelievable characteristics. This lady was wonderful, but she was not anything but a sinner. That was a virgin that Christ saw and decided to use to make sure that he had his virgin that he promised he would have. Look at this now. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I said, shall be called the Son of God. She's saying, wait a minute. Are you telling me that baby that was prophesied in Isaiah? I mean, you mean that I'm that virgin that you talked about way back? That's me? That's what she had to soak in. That's what she had to take in. The knowledge that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. That's a good day. That's something else, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? She is Christmas Mama. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I don't have time to go into this, but understand this. She was barren. She was having a miracle birth too. John the Baptist, not John the Presbyterian. Get mad at me all you want to, but he was a Baptist, and Christ walked an awful long way to be baptized by the only authority on the earth that day, and that was going to be John the Baptist, and he was the authority Christ walked to. I think we ought to follow his example and just go ahead and be Baptist then. Not the Baptist get you to heaven, but sure feel like you're riding first class. Anyway, amen. So we've got the prophecy.
What would I be if I wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed.
We've got the prophecy back in Isaiah. We've got the answer to prophecy. And can you understand what Mary is going through? Can you understand what Mary is going through in her life? What she's done, what she's had performed in her. this virgin that is going to carry the Christ child. It's amazing to me how she conducts herself. Think about the news if you would have gotten it. First of all, everyone would have thought you were a nut. But think about this for a moment. What would you do with the news that you were the one selected? Think about this in America today. If a lady would be the one selected to be the virgin bearing child, the Son of God, do you think she would keep it quiet? She would sell places on her belly for advertisement. Delta Airlines. I am that virgin. You just pay for a spot on my belly. Tell me I'm wrong. Everything is about money today. It's amazing to me that this woman was able to keep these things and ponder them in her heart. What a wonderful lady she was. And as we skip up to Luke chapter 1, verse 45, the Bible says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Can I tell you the attitude of Mary? She takes off to go see Elizabeth. She wants to say, "Hey, Elizabeth, you're going to have a baby too? This is fantastic." And Mary said, "Listen now. Can you listen to what Mary says? Let Mary is not what everyone's making her out to be. Can you say, look with me and see what Mary says?" And I wish we would do this too. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know what, Christian? I don't think there can be a better statement. I don't think there was anything closer to Christmas than Mary. Can you say amen to that? Come on now. We're rolling towards Christmas, and this is the time of year when you hate each other. Tell me I'm wrong. This is the time of year where you fight all the way up to Christmas Day, crying about having to pay bills and credit card statements and everything else that you know are rolling around the bend. And here's Mary. She's not running out to Black Friday. There's nothing wrong with it. Please. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts. Please. But what have we turned ourselves into? And Mary says to you, Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." My soul doth magnify the Lord. She doesn't want to be known as the lady that they chant over in the Catholic churches. And you get mad at me all you want to, but that's the truth. They hail Mary. They say, "Well, Gabriel did it, maybe we should." No. Mary's telling you, her soul doth magnify the Lord. Her soul does not magnify herself. Her soul does not magnify who she is. Her soul does not magnify that she's carrying the baby. Her soul magnifies the baby that she carries. Can I say that again? Her soul does not magnify that she carries the baby. Her soul magnifies the baby that she carries. And as you see Christ being born, he had to pick a woman that would act this way. Christian, he's picked you to act this way. He's picked you to magnify him. Not magnify you. Not magnify another man. Not magnify another person. I love my preacher, but my soul does not magnify my preacher. My soul magnifies the Lord. I respect, I love, I honor my dad. But I do not have a soul that magnifies him. And you ought not either. See, what happens is we get ourselves all wrapped up into who we are and who we think these great men should be. And at the end of the day, we miss that our soul should be magnifying the Lord. If our soul magnifies the Lord, men can fall and it won't kill us. Men can fall and we expect it. Glory to God, magnify the Lord this Christmas. Many houses all across the country will not read Luke chapter 2 for Christmas. Will not pray before they eat. will not talk to the Lord the night before, will not praise Him for the glorious bounty that we have in this United States of America, will not thank God. I want a soul that magnifies the Lord. We have a prophecy. We have a private proclamation. We have the promise performed. And we have the preparation of the people. Skip ahead to chapter 1, verse 76. Verse 75. I could read the whole thing. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. I wish we could put that on a t-shirt. Come on now, look at that verse. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Well, you couldn't ask for a better Christian testimony than that. How many people can you say that about? Huh? That's tough. I couldn't fit this. Holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of my life? No way. No way. If I could sum total all the times I was holy and righteous, it may not be one day. Look at this now. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For this is talking about John, by the way. This is not even talking about the Lord. This is talking about John. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Not John's ways. His ways. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Why? Why did He come? To give light to them that sit in darkness. Why did the baby come? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of His showing unto Israel. Talking about John, leading forth, proclaiming the prophet, proclaiming Christ to come. You know what's amazing to me? I believe they had this prophecy. They knew what was coming. Matter of fact, it shows out because they actually sent wise men to seek Him because they figured out that this was probably Him and we ought to check this out. Amen. They had an unction that this might be Him. Oh, they'd been looking for Him, but what's amazing to me is how many people weren't. Huh? We'll get to the day that He comes, His actual day that He comes. This is all leading up to this day. How wonderful. Do you know that Jesus is wonderful? I'm just asking you a question because I want to make sure you know that. You know, Jesus is wonderful. And as you look at all these things that He's done and He fulfilled, that He must have fulfilled, that He did, why? For you, personally, for you. All these things I'm talking about are not for anybody else, but you yourself. Now, don't look around the church to find the person that He came for. Don't. Get a mirror. It's you that He came for. That's why He came. I love people who don't make it personal. Well, yeah, I'm just not such a good person. Then you're making Christ a liar. Nobody's good. He came for you anyhow. I preached a funeral a couple of months ago, and one of the gentlemen that had been in the jail came up to me and says, "Do you recognize me?" I says, "Yeah, I really do." "Do you remember where you saw me?" I says, "Yes, I really do." He said, "You saw me in the jail." I said, "Yes, I really did." He said, "I wanted to let you know I appreciate you coming." He says, "I got saved." You like this? "I got saved in your vacation Bible school." Huh? Amen. Now, you say, "Oh, well, he ended up in jail. Must not have took, right?" See, you've got to understand. Christ came for that man. You liken it to the only people He can die for is preachers and good people. He died for everybody. Even the one that gets saved and messes up. You know, I'm glad about that too because I was one. See, what you got to understand is this. That Christ child came for me. Huh? He came for me. Throughout all my entire life, He knew what I was going to do. He knew who I was going to be. And yet He still came. I didn't hold Him back from coming. Glory to God. And as we look at this Christmas time coming up, as we look, and we're almost there, we're almost to Christmas. We see this, these verses, this wonderful giving light to them that sit in darkness. Christian, do you remember when you sat in darkness? Christian, do you remember that you were in the shadow of death before you got saved? Do you remember how he tried to guide your feet into the way of peace? And you know what's funny? We have peace when we're following him. Don't tell me you don't. It's when we get away from following him. Following him becomes too boring. I got better things to do than follow Christ. You know how much foolishness we do in this world? I'm not against having fun. Matter of fact, I have more fun now than I ever had. Grand sum up the total of the times when I was doubt, sin, and being stupid. I have more fun now. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. I really, really do. Do you realize that you can lead a good, clean life and still laugh?
I would become a Christian, but I really don't want to give up that which I'm doing.
Are you crazy? I'm so glad I gave all that garbage up. There's so much more fun over here. Promise performed. The preparation of that prophet. The preparation of John the Baptist. The preparation of bringing him forth. The preparation through a barren womb. Well, you can't have babies. It's a barren womb. No, I've got a Christ who says you're gonna. You can't have a baby, Mary. You've never known a man. Well, I got a Christ that says you can. The fifth one. We got to stop. I'm just going to announce this one because apparently we have to do a drawing and stuff like that, and I don't want to miss that. The pilgrimage of the parent. Now, we can say parents, but Joseph really wasn't his dad. The pilgrimage of the parent. In Luke chapter 2, we see it. For tax purposes.
Yeah.
Everything seems today you do it for tax purposes. Yeah. For tax purposes. They jumped on a donkey and rode. From what I can gather, it's about 73 miles that they traveled. I might be wrong on that, but that's what I gathered. 73 miles carrying the King of Kings. Hey, do you remember, ladies, when you were very, very much with child? Can I ask you a question? Would you jump on the back of a donkey? I remember my wife. My wife, we had big babies. She had big babies. Ha! I was there. I carried the stuff. She had big babies. Can you imagine jumping on the back of a donkey, even for a picture? Can you imagine going on a car ride for 73 miles? I mean, she's great with child. Her back hurts. Her feet and ankles are swelled beyond recognition. And she does this. And you know what's funny? This too fulfills prophecy. What she's doing, where they went, what they did, Christ had to have happened. Because that too fulfilled prophecy. Can I help you a little bit? Do you realize if they don't do this, that they don't fulfill prophecy, and if they don't fulfill every letter of prophecy, that's why the Bible's so important. We've got to know. We've got to realize that this prophecy being fulfilled, if it's not fulfilled to the letter, do you realize he cannot be Jesus Christ? It's got to be every letter has to be fulfilled. And it is in this pilgrimage. This pilgrimage setting up Christmas Day. She wasn't worried about the lights on the tree, which are wonderful. She had to go pay taxes. You know, we had a wonderful, wonderful prophecy revealed through Mary. And I'm very excited to bring the rest. But I'm going to tell you right now, what a wonderful trip so far. We serve the greatest Savior, the only Savior, the most wonderful God. It's amazing watching Christ and just this journey of this baby. Because you must realize, and I'm all done, I'll stop right here. You must realize that this journey, everything, this, all of it, every clippity-clop of the donkey's little feet was done for you. For you. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, please help as we go throughout this journey of you. Lord, this speaking of you in this journey. And Lord God, you're so wonderful to us. You're so amazing. God, we could never even put into words how great you truly are. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us Christmas. Thank you so much for giving us yourself. That wonderful gift of God that came to me, that came to every one of these people, where we owe you everything. Thank you so much, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I think